This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, April 30th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. This week, we got earnings reports from the biggest names in tech: Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, Microsoft, and others. These reports are being closely watched because they give us a first look at how the tech sector is faring as the world begins to ease pandemic-related restrictions. On today's episode, our tech editor, Bodhi Atway, will help us break down the reports and what we learned. That's after these headlines. We've been covering the increased regulatory scrutiny of China's tech sector. The latest, China's central bank, along with the country's banking, insurance, securities, and foreign exchange regulators, summoned 13 of the nation's biggest tech companies yesterday and ordered them to change some financial business practices that are seen as risky and anti-competitive. Analysts say the goal is to rein in tech giants' ability to use big data for lending, money management, and similar businesses, and curb a revolutionary business model in the country. The move effectively ends an era of rapid growth that authorities said posed dangers to the financial system. Staying in China for a moment, the country successfully launched a core component of its new space station into orbit yesterday. The 22-ton Tianhe model will eventually serve as the life support and control center for China's astronauts. Our reporter Natasha Khan says it's one of a series of planned launches as China builds its rival to the International Space Station.
You know, for the past 10 years, China has really been going on its own when it comes to their space program. After Congress in the U.S. passed an act which excludes NASA from having contact with their Chinese counterparts except in exceptional circumstances or if they seek prior approval. So the fact that, you know, they landed on the far side of the moon, that they're now having this orbiter around Mars and this milestone in their plan to have a permanent presence in space is definitely in line with the huge ambitions that China's space program has set out for itself.
All right, coming up after the break, we take a look at this week's tech earnings reports and whether some of the big trends that took shape during the pandemic are looking like they'll continue. That's next.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with. Listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
Amazon and Twitter wrapped up a big week for tech earnings yesterday. Amazon said its first quarter sales hit $108 billion, a 44% increase from the same period last year. And its profit more than tripled to $8.1 billion. The figures exceeded analyst expectations. Meanwhile, Twitter said its daily user base grew by about 3.6% last quarter. That represents a slowdown after a big surge at the onset of the pandemic. Still, the company posted revenue of just over $1 billion, beating expectations. The results capped off our first look at how tech companies are faring as some parts of the world begin to reopen. For more on what we learned, I'm joined by our tech editor, Bodhi Atway. Hey, Bo, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with the highlights from these earnings reports. What stood out?
Well, one thing that stood out is just like the really big tech companies make a ton of money. So I think looking at Amazon put out its results Thursday, it had $108 billion of sales in the quarter. I think someone estimated that might be like $13,000 a second, maybe well over that. So if you think about just, you know, everything that Amazon does, like AWS, it's a content provider. It has Prime. It obviously sells stuff through its e-commerce platform. There's a lot of different tentacles to it. You look at Amazon and Apple and Facebook, and you know these companies are wildly profitable in the billions because of the sprawling enterprises that they have, and because they're in technology, the margins for the most part are pretty good in terms of how much it costs these companies to provide the services that they do. The margins are pretty good, and their profits are sizable.
Yeah, and I want to talk about some of those different tentacles in a second. But, you know, broad strokes, this is also the first time where these reports can tell us something about how these companies are doing after COVID vaccines have become widely available. Previously, we've been looking at them to see the impact of the pandemic. So what did we learn about how these companies are doing in the recovery?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about the tech companies is a lot of people looked at them as kind of like the pandemic play, especially a lot of investors, because, you know, as the world kind of as outside closed, sort of people turn to technology companies and the tools they provide to do everything, to shop, to eat, to do so many different things. I think what the early results are showing are that, you know, the companies themselves, because they do so many things, that not only that we relied upon them before the pandemic, after the pandemic, we'll still need them. Like, people aren't going to stop using Facebook because, you know, they have the ability to go to a shopping mall. But what they might be able to do is, you know, they'll use Facebook while they're on the train heading somewhere. So these companies know that, they're betting on it, and they're kind of adjusting their companies and their services to take advantage of that.
Yeah. And I think cloud computing is another good example of that. You know, a lot of companies have said they're going to be doing hybrid work even after the pandemic is over. And as we've talked about on the show, cloud is a really competitive space right now. So what did we learn from these earnings reports about the cloud market?
Yeah. One thing we learned is that these companies, you know, they are in a dogfight for market share in working with companies. But the fact that there's still room for all of their businesses to run, I think the growth of all of them show that, you know, there's still companies that they're still trying to work with. I think what was interesting is that, you know, usually when the companies put out their reports, they usually kind of drop a nod to the new clients that they've landed, or just it's kind of like as a flex. And so Amazon, one thing they did Thursday was like, hey, we're working with Dish. We're working with Disney to power Disney Plus. And it's kind of like, you know, it makes sense. And then it just shows that, you know, there's still a lot of relationships that these companies are trying to, Alphabet, Microsoft, and Amazon, or they're still trying to woo customers. And there's, you know, you could see the dogfight really continuing, and largely because there's just a great and massive need for these things. And you know, another thing that you saw, Facebook and Apple, obviously they're continuing to invest in their infrastructure too, because obviously they have servers they have to maintain, and, you know, they're data companies, and they have to make sure that they have the infrastructure that's needed to support their businesses.
Got it. And you know, another area that a lot of these companies reported growth in is the ad space. What kind of results did we see in this area?
You saw a blowout quarters from anybody who has a digital platform. Guess what? Like, you made a lot of money, from Snap to Facebook to Twitter to, you know, LinkedIn is a $3 billion ad business, which is, like, most people would say, like, wait, LinkedIn? Are you sure? You know, again, as people started spending more time online than maybe what was normally expected through the pandemic, companies adjusted their spending to say, like, hey, we still have goods and we still need to reach our customers. Where are they? Well, if they're not driving down a highway, you can't catch them on a billboard or anything like that, or they're not on the subway, so you don't see them. Where are they? Well, they're on their phones, they're on their computers, they're on their laptops and tablets. So, you know, all the digital spending, it basically, the advertisers tried to reach people where they are, and where they were was Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Snapchat. And as a result, the companies benefited from it. And, you know, what ultimately is happening is that ad prices are actually going up because there's a lot more competition, you know, because of the interest. The companies say, okay, we can make a little bit more money from the advertisers because there's just a lot of demand.
But at the same time, there's kind of a headwind already on the horizon, right? These strong results came the same week that Apple launched its new privacy feature called App Tracking Transparency. It requires users to opt in to allowing apps to track them. A lot of advertisers have pushed back and said this is actually going to make it harder for them to serve users with ads that are relevant to them. What did the company say this week about how this new feature could impact them moving forward?
Yeah. I, you know, it's interesting. Facebook and Twitter both kind of mentioned, and Facebook did a lot more mentioning about Apple's move and kind of what they're going to do going forward. You know, what Facebook tried to do is they tried to position themselves to say, look, they've made their position known that they don't like this move. They've touted the value of personalized ads, and they say that, you know, they can be done with privacy in mind. What Facebook is saying is, well, we still have billions of people who use our platforms every day. based on even the data that we have, we think that we'll be able to create effective tools that advertisers could still have value if they advertise with us. And one thing that Facebook's operating chief, Sheryl Sandberg, said was there might be ad technology that we might have to rebuild. But, you know, in the long run, we think that we'll be able to manage through this. We know it's going to be an impact, but we think we'll be okay. And we think that we can prove out our value to advertisers. Ultimately, this is something that, you know, a lot of the tech platforms are going to have to work through. It's unclear what the ultimate impact is going to be. But, you know, over time, you know, as we carry on through this year and even next year, we'll see if that's true. And if the companies are able to prove out their messages, that they'll be able to mitigate this over time.
And it sounds like some optimism in the meantime there. So one last area that I want to touch on is e-commerce. It's obviously become a staple for many consumers during the pandemic. But as things open up and people start to feel more comfortable doing things like going to stores again, did we hear from companies about whether they're starting to see an impact on e-commerce and how they plan to handle that as the economy does continue to reopen?
Not yet. And I think the we've been marching a long time on the fact that, you know, more people are spending time and shopping online. What the pandemic did is it just accelerated that trend a little bit. And obviously, a lot of traditionally bricks and mortar retailers were impacted by that. But, you know, even when, quote unquote, outside reopens, I don't think there's going to be a sense that people are going to shop a lot less online. There might be certain experiences or certain opportunities that they'll take to, you know, go to the mall or go to the store to do things. But there's still a sense that, you know, even through that, these companies are pretty optimistic that they'll be able to deal with this. And what you're seeing with a lot of platforms themselves is that they're building more e-commerce capabilities into the platforms with Snapchat and what they're doing with Facebook and even within Facebook's Instagram. Like there's a sense that, you know, they want their platforms to be as sticky as possible. So if there's a dollar to be made and there's a way that they can get it without, you know, necessarily, you know, without a person leaving their platform, they're going to try to do it. And e-commerce is a really simple way. And obviously you have Amazon. Amazon's been doing this for a long time. They make a lot of money doing it. And, you know, one thing that obviously they tout is Prime. And I think that with Prime itself, Prime has now 175 million members. So the fact that even beyond e-commerce, obviously that's a service that they're collecting money regularly for. So it's like, yeah, it's even if people aren't necessarily shopping, they're still paying for it because obviously Prime opens up benefits beyond getting your goods really quickly to your house.
All right. That's our tech editor, Bodhi Atwaye. Thanks, Bo.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yocum. And I'm your host, Amanda Llewellyn. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.